Hey everybody, today we're going to talk about an app that finally makes buying wine, enjoying wines, and discovering wines so much easier. I'm your host, Emily Steckenborn, and you're listening to Bottled in China. This is the podcast that dives into the delicious and fascinating world of food and beverage. We cover innovation, market trends, and culture with thought leaders from around the world. Today, we're joined by Corentin Chaume, co-founder of Vinified. Vinified is the first platform to bridge the gap between distributors and final consumers. It allows them to instantly list and sell their wines to consumers across California, a couple other states as well. And it really allows wine to be affordable because it kind of cuts out a large portion of the middleman. Now, Vinified is also a wine app. So in this app, consumers can rate and review wines that they've tried, and they're also offered suggestions based on the wines that they've just tasted. If they enjoy it, they show very similar styles of wine. Therefore, you kind of don't need to try 100 wines and figure out what you like. The app recognizes through the tasting notes something that you also might like and gives you recommendations on wines that you've already tasted. So not only allowing us to discover new wines, but also kind of getting more information right from the winemakers themselves. So it's an app that actually combines and brings together the consumer and the wineries. So before we get started in this podcast, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Bottled in China, where you can reach out to me directly. And if you love this podcast, share it with a friend or click 5 stars on iTunes to show your support. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Bottled in China. Today, we're going to be discussing a little bit about disrupting the wine industry. And Corentin joins us today. Welcome to the episode.
Thank you so much, Emily, for coming.
Now, I'm very excited to speak about Vinified because it's actually the first platform to bridge the gap between distributors and final consumers. And so can you tell us about how Vinified is disrupting the wine industry?
Sure. We chose from the very early stage to empower consumers by helping them to understand wine. This is really very important to us because wine can be intimidating and lead to confusion. So our really first disruptive innovation was to allow consumers to understand their unique taste preferences, what they like in wine and why they like it. So this is with this idea that Vinified iOS wine app was built. One of the key features being to reverse search a wine. So by this, we mean to start from the flavors you wanted to taste in your wine and get a list of wines that match this search. So we developed a flavor profile matching algorithm based on multiple criteria that allowed us to give a general idea of wine taste. At any time, producers on their side are able to adjust those different indicators through their own access. And the consumers build their own profile by rating and saving wines and get points and access different levels by gaining experience. And thanks to a taste algorithm, they get wines suggestions. That's the main disruptive one. And we have then an approach that's more towards the producers. So the second disruptive concept is to connect producers directly to their audience, the final consumers. The US market is a three-tier market. So ultimately, there is some distance created between the makers and the consumers, and especially for imported wines. So that's why we created a portal for the producers where they can handle their information and access data about their selling point and the people that consume their wine.
Mm-hmm. That's actually really fascinating because I think, Corentin, you mentioned something that just right now is understanding your consumer. And a lot of winemakers and producers don't really know their consumers. And you would think that you would be able to find that easily. But like you said, a lot of the time, they don't have that face-to-face unless they go to the winery, right? But their consumers that are maybe in a different state or even somewhere else around the world, there's not much clarity about who they are. So this is definitely very important. And the other one is, I always get the question, you know, what can I drink if I like black fruit and cherry, right? So being able to really identify from that tasting profile is something a lot of consumers really look for.
Totally. I mean, that's what we try to solve from the different, you know, people we have been talking to in the industry. That's definitely a bridge that we are trying to build to kind of find a solution to get a little more information to the producers when they want to use the information, because that's, I guess, another thing that we might answer a little bit later, but how, you know, technology can be embraced by the actors, by the industry, and especially by the makers.
Right. Just asking, like, would you think that Vinified is mostly for new consumers or wine drinkers or wine enthusiasts? Where does it sit in terms of consumers using it?
So it would be definitely for more new consumers and early stage consumers, because, you know, if you are talking really to the ultimate elaborated wine geek that already knows a lot about wine, I think that would be too early stage maybe for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it's really for people that wants to understand the different aspects of wine, but in a more popularized terminology. So to make it less, sound less, you know, snob, which can be sometimes the case with wine. And I think that's actually a point that should be addressed by the industry, because all the vocabulary used around wine can be intimidating for people to, you know, get into it. So that's why some people just feel more comfortable staying with beer and sometimes even cocktails, because it can be intimidating to jump into the wine world. So our language and the way, you know, we build the designs and stuff, I would say definitely more for early to intermediate. Then, you know, if you want to really get into the geeky part, that can also be interesting. But I would say the main audience, definitely early and intermediate.
Right. And they're probably the ones that need it the most as well, because when you are a wine lover enthusiast, you kind of know the style, right? You know what grapes you like, and also maybe even the regions or producers that you enjoy drinking.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's really like supporting the people that are really novices, but interested in wine at a fact where they really want to be more engaged. Now, I just want to clarify, Konstantin, when it comes to what you've just mentioned, can you explain that? I know you said terminology is very intimidating in wine. I think everybody would agree with you. But mm-hmm. Can you explain how you simplify the language in that case?
So our main concept was really built around the flavors of wine and how a wine is structured. So we really broke down a wine in terms of, for example, the key terms that would be to describe the wine in terms of flavors, like acid, oak, body, minerality. We have five key terms that we used for, you know, white, reds, rosé, dessert wine, in order to, and sparkling wine, in order to build a wheel that we are able to use in order to rate some intensity on those different factors from 0 to 6, to understand how those different key factors would vary according to the wine origin and the grape and the technique. So this is really a way to draw something super visual into understanding the structure of a wine. So that's definitely based on the UX, so user experience, and the design and the visual aspect. That's the way we can address the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like that, because actually we were just talking about that with some friends. The wine industry doesn't have a very structured way to explain wine. A lot of it, as you were mentioning again, and it's just people who are writing nice tasting notes, right? But mm-hmm. for the typical consumer, what does a touch of sweet oak with dark chocolate undertone, like, what does that mean to the consumer? And you're right, simplifying it, making it visual, making it understandable. I think consumers would feel, like you said, a little bit more into the wine industry as opposed to feeling intimidated. And I think that's a really great point. Now, for you, Konstantin, what inspired you to really create Vinified and fund it?
Yeah, it really started from this tasting experience, actually. And so we started with Thomas, my associate, in 2017. And the original idea was to really allow the wine consumers to immerse themselves in the producer's estate and to push the concept of the wine tasting experience. So at that time, it was virtual reality that was really a thing and about to boom. So we were very into that, and we very quickly drafted some booklets to seduce some producers with this idea. And we had at that time only the designs, but no app developed. So we actually got some quite good feedback from some producers that sponsored us for this concept. And after a few months and some business mentoring, we abandoned very quickly the virtual reality option because it was too much of a niche. And it seems like, you know, it would need a little bit of time to make it a little more mainstream. So we had to go back to the drawing board still with this mind, you know, in this mind of like wine tasting experience. What could we do, you know, to make it, to enhance it? And we still wanted to create a platform to enhance the consumer experience on one end, and on the other side to connect the producers to the market. So that's really where we decided to drive our focus on the taste component. So that a little bit go back to what I said before about like the breakdown of the flavors and the wine structure. So on one side, the consumers, we also noticed that they were lost by the vast array of wines that were available in stores. And the only way they could, you know, kind of make a choice, it's by looking at crowdsourced ratings or professional ratings. And on the other hand, the producers were a victim of a very competitive market, which makes it hard to stand out if your wine is not rated 90 plus. So then it becomes obvious that the main value that was, you know, shared between the consumers and the producers was actually the taste. That's the only thing that should matter. We were thinking if a consumer find a wine that match its taste, he's going to be happy. And if a producer get some feedback about consumers that like his wines, he's going to be happy too, because he's going to understand his market.
Right. Now, talking actually a little bit about understanding the consumer, understanding the potential in the industry, I want to talk a bit about innovation and specifically disruptive innovation. The wine industry is not very good at innovation, I would say. I think anybody would agree on that. But what are some things that you see that are untapped potential? And also, what would you recommend when it comes to trying to be innovative within the wine space? And how did you do that?
Yes, so I come from the wine producing side. So I grew up in, in the Loire Valley, in my family of wine producers. So I know very well, you know, the environment. And I always wanted to go abroad and share my passion for wine. And I also really wanted to kind of get into this innovative side, because I think there is a lot to bring. But as you mentioned, you know, it's also a very old industry. And so it's very challenging to bring innovation into an old industry that has a way to function. You know, that's kind of how it is since centuries. So it's definitely challenging. And to put it short, I think I would like the industry to be a little more proactive towards innovation. And that's the problem we very quickly encounter with our model, is that most of the wine producers are not necessarily marketers, or they're not even really sales driven, or if they are, they don't necessarily want to do the job themselves. So if you actually take the example of the US, which is the number one wine market in the world, many producers don't really care where their wine ends. That's what we were seeing in the introduction. They, you know, they sell to the importer, and then from there, they don't know, you know, in which ends the product end. And what matters to them is, as long as the bill is paid, and even better if it's spent on time, that's really what matters. And I totally understand that from the producer perspective, especially when you are used to having, you know, your product going from tier to tier. It seems totally normal. But it's also understandable that things can change, and that's where innovation, you know, should bring some attention to the producers, especially in the US. Since we have this very archaic system that's like that since the prohibition, so about 100 years now. And we also now have like some of the best technology that could really solve some problems, especially in terms of data collection and understanding your consumer. And I still think there is a little bit of delay, you know, for the makers to kind of embrace these technologies to kind of probably improve the distribution. And I totally get it too, because we cannot now avoid the tiers. That's also the way it is. And that's the way, you know, it has to work with. But at least I would like to see a way to present the information in a little more accessible and easy way for the consumer, so that easy they can find whenever, wherever they are, whenever they want information on this producer, and get some, you know, nice video content, nice explanation on the wines, and why not, you know, being able to get delivered home in a few days.
Right. Well, she's funny that you say that, because we are transforming from desktop to handheld devices, right? As the source of where you find your information, where you do your shopping. And you're right. A lot of even the simplest things, right? Like a website isn't formatted to be on your phone. And then if you are if you're shopping at a wine store and you're trying to look up information and almost nothing is able to be found or it's not very clearly played out, I really feel a lot of people wouldn't want to continue the search, right? They'd probably go for something else. So you're right. It's like trying to get your consumers as much as you can and facilitate the journey to understand your wine is truly impressive and important, actually.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally agree.
So, Kohansin, I want to ask you a little bit specifically when it comes to what you guys do, because you mentioned that you want to make sure that people don't drive aimlessly to a wine shop and wander the aisles again. So can you tell us a little bit more on how you support that experience and journey?
Sure. So yes, the app has been designed so for the people to learn about wine, to learn about the producers, to get access to some fun educational content and tasting videos so that they can anytime pick a wine that they are interested in, and even better, they can pick a wine that match their taste because they can use the app to really search for wine with different type of intensity for different type of factors. And they would get results in terms of percentage and the list of wine that's showing up. So that's really on the search part. Then they can rate those wines. So they would have other wines thanks to a taste algorithm that would be suggested. So if either they rate positively or negatively the wine they taste, they would get some suggestions. And lately, that was the third disruptive point that we developed lately because of the COVID crisis. We created the Vinified Wine Club so that people can buy wine now through vinified.com, which is linked to the app as well. And they can get delivered in California to their home. So that's really kind of, I would say, closing this cycle of from the producer, get the wine that you want that match your taste and being able to purchase it and get delivered home.
Mm. And do you feel like for yourself, is this something that you're looking more into moving towards as more of the direct-to-consumer sales, or are you still trying to be more on the back end and provide the content side? Where do you think you're going to move in the future?
Naturally, right now, we are definitely moving to the consumer side and the sales, but there is a huge opportunity and I think a huge work to be done in terms of the massive data that can be collected and needs to be sorted too, and then can definitely benefit the producers. And same for the content. I think there is a lot that can be done and then can be fed through the app or through other platforms to address the consumer. But that's a massive work that requires a lot of resources, but that's definitely something very interesting too.
Right. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your consumers. I know we said at the beginning of this podcast that a lot of them are new consumers, that they're not necessarily the wine expert, because the wine expert will typically have their own set of thoughts and already understand what they want to drink. But I want to talk about the segment of your consumer more specifically, because I feel like for apps, my first feeling is that they're going to be millennials, right? Or they're going to be younger. And then, but it's wine. And we all know wine, especially when it comes to more premium wine, it's typically millennials don't make up that big of a percentage for premium wines, and they sit between the category. This was from Silicon Valley Bank, though, between $8 to $11 is where they sit comfortably. So I want to ask you, you know, where exactly in your consumer base, who are they?
Yeah, I definitely remember this study from the Silicon Valley Bank, and it's definitely challenging for wineries now to address millennials. And actually, that's constitute a big chunk of our audience, the main one, actually, in terms of proportion. I think it's because the designs, the way we wanted to address people was very geared towards millennials in the first place. Like the designs we made, the tone we use, the vocabulary and the text, the content we have, and the taste search and the results you get once you get on a wine page, you get some food pairing suggestions and some music playlists because there is a Spotify player integrated on each wine page. So I think all those lifestyle elements kind of resonate with the millennials. Today, there are about 30% of our audience are millennials.
Mm. And what have you seen are some buying habits that millennials on your platform might have that differentiate them from other consumer segments?
This is a little bit similar. Definitely the $10 to $15 price point is definitely the main price point. But with some explanation and a little bit more information, there is a little bit more curiosity into jumping in some $20, $25 wine for sure.
Right. So you have to really attract them to go up. It's not like it's their first instinct. You really have to draw them in with additional content of why you want to be paying more. And just, you know, on a thought that popped up is, who are the ones that are buying the more expensive wines? Are they first time buyers? Are they reoccurring buyers? Do they move up gradually? Or do you see people mostly stay in the comfort zone, as you mentioned, $8 to $15? Or do you see that people are moving up?
It really depends. There are some people that, you know, search for a specific wine and they are ready to spend a little more from the get-go because they want this specific wine. And some other people that would be staying more in the $10 to $15 because that's the comfort zone. And once in a while, they would be like for a special event or something like that, they would be a little more risky and get into the $25 and above $30, $35 price range.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit about cultural personal elements, because of course, as you've mentioned, you can choose out what you like and it's based on recommendations. But have you seen through the data in your app anything that attests that cultural or personal or age factor might determine a style of wine that somebody might prefer?
It's hard to tell. I think people like to play with it too, and they like to experiment. And then the app itself, the way it's made, the algorithm is really about the wines you rate that would then be, you know, helping the recommendation for the next wine to come. And the cultural element is not like easily something that we can measure through that.
Right. And of course, Quarantine, how do we get in touch with you? And can you tell us a little bit more about the pricing and how we can get to know more about Vinified and download it ourselves?
Yes, definitely. So the app Vinified is available on the App Store. So it's for iOS user only, so iPhone. And you can also follow us on the Vinified Wine Club page on Facebook. And I obviously also invite you and people in California that want to purchase wines at a great price and French boutique wines mainly to go on vinified.com, V-I-N-I-F-I-E-D.com.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to put all the information in the show notes as well as the link for the download for your app through, of course, Apple. Sorry, that is.
Yes, exactly.
And of course, most importantly is, you know, if you guys have any questions, I think the website provides so much in-depth resources. And I think it's very interesting, as you said, the wine club, because I actually saw some information about that. And I'm actually going to go right after this podcast. I'm going to go listen to some things and learn.
Great. Sounds cool.
Thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Emily, for your time.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you love this podcast, make sure to share it with a friend or click 5 stars on iTunes to show your support.